pantomimed friendly gestures, which wasn't needed, as Desai spoke better English than I did. The trauma she'd endured hadn't affected her judgment. As soon as she pulled on my shirt, she dashed out of the cell behind Adams. The other prisoner was my sorta friend, Lieutenant Colonel Chang. His cell door was busted open, but the cell had partly collapsed on top of him, and by the time we reached him, he had managed to wriggle free, except for his left foot being trapped under a section of the ceiling. We lifted the broken piece enough for him to crawl out. He had a deep, nasty gash on his left calf and a cut on his forehead that he shook off, saying he would deal with it later. I could see his point. Beyond Chang's cell, the corridor had collapsed. If any humans were alive in the rubble, it was going to take more than the four of us to dig them out without heavy equipment.
No, Chang said, shaking his head. The lizards told me there were only 6 prisoners left after last night. Besides the 4 of us, there was 1 French and 1 British.
Damn. I found 1 dead Frenchie and a dead Brit back there. This is all of us, then. Adams yanked on my waistband and pulled me back around a corner holding a finger to her lips.
2 Cristangs, sir, in that white building. I saw them through the doorway.
They see us?
I don't think so. One of them had its back to us.
I jerked my head back over my shoulder. We go back. See if... 3 Cristang came out of the white building, all 3 carrying rifles but not wearing helmets or body armor. They weren't looking in our direction. They had their backs to us, looking up at the sky. I didn't hesitate. Either Cristang ammo fires quietly or their rifles had built-in silencers because it only made a pop-pop sound as the rounds came out of the barrel. The explosive tips impacting Cristang bodies did make a loud noise. They all went down quick. Only one of them managed to fire off a round, and it wasn't aimed anywhere near us. Orders weren't needed. We all sprinted across to the Cristang, picked up rifles, and ducked inside the white building.
Red means the safety is off, Adams demonstrated.
One of them is still alive, Chang warned, and brought his rifle up.
Adams pushed the barrel aside and shook her head angrily.
No, sir. Not you.
She looked at Desai, and the 2 women nodded. 1 Cristang was rocking side to side on the ground. I'd missed hitting its torso and blown off 1 arm. Desai put 2 rounds in its head, then muttered something in Hindi. I assumed it was something like, adios, motherfucker, or whatever the Indian Army equivalent was.
Thank you, she said to Adams.
If Chang was angry at a sergeant reprimanding him, he didn't show it. He knew human women had been tortured by the lizards. He understood Desai needed some feeling of payback. Splattering lizard brains across 12 square meters was a good start.
Does anyone know where they store food around here? I asked. The lizards gave me an MRE each morning. They must have human food somewhere.
I haven't eaten in 2 days, Desai said, and Adams nodded.
Damn. Now my 1 meal per day felt like a luxury.
We searched the white building, wary for more Cristang, all of us extremely trigger-happy.
Desai found a cabinet that contained 17 packages of American MREs and the Chinese Army version of field rations. Adams and Desai said they weren't hungry, but I insisted they tear open 1 package and share it to start, eating slowly. They needed the energy. We didn't find anything else that was useful. No human clothing, no spare weapons and ammo. There was Cristang clothing. I gave Desai my pants and put on Cristang pants. She donned a Cristang shirt that was way too big and gave my shirt back. If we ran into trouble, I thought my shirt with my rank insignia would be useful. Cristang boots were much too large for the women. They cut up clothing and wrapped the strips around their feet. I thought that was clever. It was Desai's idea. As Adams was tying off her makeshift shoes, a pair of Ruha vulture dropship attack birds roared by overhead. It was time to leave. There were a trio of Cristang armored personnel carriers parked by the fence. The doors weren't locked, but they wouldn't start, and we didn't have time to look for keys or computer chips or whatever was needed. A Ruha Humvee was nearby. The windshield was cracked, but the power cells had a 70% charge, and it started right away. We circled the compound so we could drive away down the 1 road with tree cover. Tree cover was likely no protection, considering the Ruha had eyes in the sky, but it made us feel safer somehow. A last glimpse back at the destroyed lizard compound was of a dodo coming in to land, escorted by the pair of vultures. I crossed my fingers and hoped they'd consider 1 Humvee to be not worth bothering to investigate. The tree cover ran out after a couple kilometers, and we were driving northwest through open grasslands. A road came to an intersection, and I called a halt,
Does anyone know where we are?
No one did. Not a single clue.
To the south, we could see a whale and some vultures descending, headed away from us. Away from them was as good a direction as any, so we kept driving northeast. And we later ran into Captain Clueless and his checkpoint. The road went over a bridge. On the far side were several Humvees and soldiers, human soldiers, mostly wearing U.S. Army gear, so we were happy to encounter friendlies.
Well, so we thought.
It was an MP unit led by a second lieutenant. From the variety of unit insignias and nationalities, he must have pulled together any people he could find. They trained their rifles on our Humvee as we crossed the bridge, then ordered us to stop. I got out, cradling the Krestang rifle under my left arm and saluted with my right.
Report, Lieutenant, I squinted at his name tag. Rogers.
Sir?
His return salute was hesitant. I wore U.S. Army Colonel's insignia on my uniform top, which was so smeared with dried Krestang blood that my name tag was partly obscured. My pants were Krestang, with their distinctive yellow and black pattern, and I carried a Krestang weapon. Also, I was much too young to be a real colonel in anyone's army. We ran into Krestang back down the road. I used my right thumb to indicate the direction behind our Humvee, and tactically acquired this gear. We don't have comms. I pointed to my empty waistband. What is the situation?
You attacked the Krestang? Sir, I think I have to place you under arrest.
His men raised their weapons. This could get ugly fast. Lieutenant, unless you've totally had your head up your ass, that phrase was becoming my favorite, it can't have escaped your attention that this planet is under new management by the Ruhar. UNEF's mission here is over. Every human on Paradise is a prisoner of the Ruhar. You planning on arresting all of UNEF and turning us over to the hamsters?
I have my orders. I am a goddamn full-bird colonel in the United States Army, and you are a particularly dumbass second lieutenant, I said hotly, careful to keep my rifle cradled under my left arm.
Lieutenant Colonel Chang here and Captain Desai also outrank you in UNEF, and Staff Sergeant Adams outranks you in smarts. Stand down right now, that's an order.
Desai pointed her rifle out the window, directly at Rogers's head.
I am not going back to that prison.
The rifle barrel was shaken slightly, either from anger, fear, or low blood sugar.
Me neither, Adams agreed, stepping out of the Humvee.
The expression on her face was more frightening than her rifle.
Colonel Bishop, permission to nuke this asshole's brain if he even looks at me funny?
She looked Rogers in the eye.
I spent the past 5 days being starved and tortured by the lizards, and I really, really want to shoot something.
Everyone calm down.
The voice of reason came from a sergeant in Rogers' patched-together unit.
LT, maybe we should hear them out.
Rogers nodded, and his people slowly lowered their weapons. With a nod from me, my people did the same.
That's better. Now I'm Colonel Joe Bishop, you know, the Bonnie guy.
Recognition dawned on Rogers' face.
Damn, Adams had been right. Never give up an advantage.
The four of us were prisoners of the Krestang until the Ruhar hit the base and sprung us by accident. All the other prisoners were shot or tortured and hung by our allies, the lizards. Former allies.
Now, you have comms. I pointed to his Z-phone. What have you heard?
Nothing, sir. Comms are down. Even the GPS location system is down. All we get is a recorded message from the Ruhar for us to stand down, cooperate with the Ruhar, and await further instructions. Nothing from UNEF command. No emails or texts. But the translation function is working.
How are you fixed for supplies?
Lean, sir.
Now that he knew who I was, he kept looking at me in a way that suggested he wanted to ask for my autograph.
Plenty of water. Everyone has a standard load of ammo, but we don't even have enough food for one meal for everyone. Most of us were on our way to a French FOB when the Ruhar came back. We saw smoke in the direction of the base. He pointed to a thin column of smoke off to the south. And the bridge over the river in that direction is out. I pulled together everyone I could find and assembled here. We've got 2 French, 3 Indians, and 4 Chinese with us. I figure this bridge is a traffic choke point, sir.
It was decent thinking of a sort.
I leaned close to talk quietly.
We have about 12 MRE packs. The 2 women with me were starved and tortured by the lizards. They were going to be hanged tomorrow morning.
Rogers' eyes showed his shock.
What the hell have we gotten into, sir?
We're in over our heads, that's for certain. Let's load up and drop ships, a soldier called out.
Theirs or ours? Lieutenant Rogers asked. I didn't bother to point out that nothing in the sky was ours anymore.
Can't tell, sir, replied the soldier with the binoculars.
Wait. They're hamsters. Four vultures and a pair of dodos, looks like.
I was about to order people to take cover when the lead pair of vultures split to flank us east and west and their weapons pods opened. Clearly they had seen us and were interested. Maybe hostile.
Everyone weapons down, hands in the air.
Sir?
Rogers asked suspiciously. I had, after all, killed Krestang and now intended to surrender to the Ruhar.
Lieutenant, maybe if we're very lucky we can take out one of those vultures if the pilot is stupid enough to get that close. The others will wipe us out like sitting ducks. Place your weapon on the ground, back away from it, and hold your hands in the air.
I could see he wasn't convinced. We were out in the galaxy to fight the Ruhar so people on Earth didn't have to. Surrendering without firing a shot went against a soldier's instincts.
The Ruhar hit us here before, and the Krestang knocked them back, I reminded him, although this time I would rather deal with the Ruhar than the Krestang.
Live to fight another day, I said, whichever side we end up fighting.
Rogers accepted the facts.
The vulture pilots were not at all stupid. The four of them flew high cover, safely out of javelin range. A dodo landed, dropped a dozen troops, and immediately dusted off to circle to the south. As the hamster troops approached, Rogers' Z-phone came to life. He touched his earpiece.
Sir, we're being ordered to leave our weapons and assemble south of the road.
We complied. I didn't see we had any choice. I ordered a private to give me his Z-phone and walk slowly forward, hands in the air, to talk to the enemy soldiers. Or alien soldiers. I didn't know who was our enemy right then. Maybe both sides.
I'm Colonel Joe Bishop, United States Army, I announced. This apparently didn't mean shit to the Ruhar, who confiscated my Z-phone and herded me into the group with everyone else. 20 minutes of sitting on the ground in the sun later, a Ruhar soldier approached us and tossed a Z-phone to me.
Are you the Colonel Joe Bishop who was honored to speak with, the translator buzzed, Baterna Logelia?
Who the hell was... Oh, right. I'd forgotten she had a real name.
The Burgermeister?
That didn't translate well for him because he tapped his earpiece, so I tried again.
The regional governor. I met with her in Tescor. I was Sergeant Joe Bishop back then.
Yes, you are that same Joe Bishop?
Ta. I nodded.
This evoked some animated conversation among the Ruhar. I couldn't tell if it was good or bad. Some of the looks I got were distinctly unfriendly. Maybe some of them had friends aboard the two whales we shot down at the launcher.
That was war, yes, but I'd be pissed at me if I was them.
The soldier who had asked my name held his earpiece like someone was talking to him.
You were held prisoner by the Krestang. How are you now free, and how did you have Krestang weapons? He asked.
I pointed to the sky. Your ships hit the Krestang base where I was being kept as a prisoner. I escaped because the explosion damaged the building and I was able to get out through a broken wall. Tapping my bloody uniform top, I added, I killed a Krestang by bashing its skull into a bloody pulp with its rifle. I pantomimed the action in case my words didn't translate well. Then I shot three more lizards with that rifle. Three other humans escaped with me. We killed only four lizards because that's all we could find. That came out with way more bravado than I intended. Did that answer your question? It was a contest whose eyes were open wider, the Ruhar soldier or Lieutenant Rogers. Rogers stayed silent.
You killed Krestang? The Ruhar asked.
The Krestang executed humans and were going to execute us, I indicated my three former prison companions, because we refused orders to kill Ruhar civilians. The lizards abused and tortured our females, the women, I added, to emphasize that women were people, which is not the way the lizards thought of them. The Ruhar soldier had an animated conversation with whoever was talking into his earpiece, then with two other soldiers. It was an argument of some kind. Likely the Ruhar here on the ground arguing with some dumbass Ruhar Fobbit who was sitting safely in orbit. I could sympathize. Finally, the Ruhar soldier who had been talking to me gestured at me.
You and the others who are being held by the Krestang will come with me.
He must have called the dodo, for it was rapidly approaching and descending.
"Whoa, whoa, wait."
I held up my hand, palm forward, in what I hoped was another universal body language thing. "I'm not going anywhere until I know what will happen to my people here."
Rogers and I exchanged a glance.
As the ranking officer, they were my responsibility, even though I'd barely met them. As a hodgepodge unit, it wasn't as if they had served with Rogers for long either.
Irritation briefly flashed across the soldier's face. That was surely a universal body language. Then he nodded.
One soldier to another, he could understand my concern.
"They will be escorted to an assembly point to the west, where we are distributing human food. What happens after that depends on discussions between my leaders and yours."
"And whether the Kristang come back," I thought, but didn't say it aloud.
Riding in a Ruha Dodo wasn't much different from riding in a Kristang dropship, except this time I was a prisoner of war. Now that I think about it, maybe we were all POWs of the Kristang before, and just didn't know it yet. The Ruha had taken our weapons, but I'd insisted that Desai and Adams each bring 2 MREs each with them, to recover their strength. They had both attempted to protest that they didn't want special treatment, until I made it an order that they eat. Chang and I were getting hungry, but we'd had at least a skimpy breakfast that morning. A few minutes after the dodo roared back into the sky, a Ruha crewman walked back to my seat and handed me a Ruha Z-phone. I put the earpiece in.
"Hello?"
"Colonel Bishop, hello to you. Do you know who this is?"
I recognized the squeaky voice right away.
Damn it, why couldn't I remember her name?
Latuda something.
"You are the Burgermeister, ma'am."
"Yes,"
she sounded amused.
"I am pleased to hear you survived being imprisoned by the Kristang. I protested to your leaders when you and the other prisoners of conscience were arrested. We knew from experience what the Kristang would do."
She didn't mention the nitpicky little detail that the reason I became a prisoner of conscience is the Ruha attacked UNEF troops across the planet while still officially under a truce and agreement to evacuate the planet. So, sneak attacks. I didn't mention it either.
"Thank you." My mother would be so proud of how polite I was.
"What is going to happen to humans on..."
I struggled to remember the Ruha name for the planet.
"Getanu? Score one from me."
"We are negotiating with your leaders. Additional land will be set aside to grow human food crops. Your people will be settled in several large camps."
"Bad idea. Don't do that." I'd never interrupted her before.
"Do what?"
"Concentrate humans in camps. We surrendered this planet. The Kristang will consider us traitors. If the Kristang come back, even if it's only a raid, a large number of humans in one place will be a big fat target for railguns."
"I had not thought of that."
"I'm sure UNEF Command was thinking about it."
"You'll help us grow food, but there won't be any more supplies coming from Earth?"
"It is unlikely the Kristang will make any effort to resupply you, unless they expect to retake this planet. And that will not happen. They suffered a devastating defeat to our forces in space. That is why we are able to take control here again. I can tell you now that our failed invasion, when you defended the cargo launcher, was a feint intended to lure a large Theranin and Kristang battle group to this area. It worked, and our forces destroyed that battle group today. Our intelligence indicates the Theranin no longer consider this planet to be worth fighting over, and they will not support Kristang efforts to return. The remaining enemy forces in the area will likely use hit-and-run raids to harass us here, but they are not able to mount a sustained fleet campaign at this time."
Shit. So my efforts to defend the launcher had all been for nothing. And all the Ruha troops on those 2 whales, and the humans at the DFAC, hadn't needed to die at all.
"In that case, I suggest you move all humans to the smaller continent to the south. It is called Lemuria." I pronounced that slowly, as I knew it wouldn't translate. "On human maps. We can establish small settlements there, centered around farms. You don't have many people there. I think it is best to keep humans and Ruha separated."
"That is also being discussed. We are hoping your people here could join us eventually."
"We'll switch sides in the war?"
We'll agree to a truce, but switching sides won't happen as long as the Kristang control Earth.
Colonel Bishop, surely you see... I see our human expeditionary forces stuck here, in a place where we can't eat the local food, and I see there won't be any more supplies coming from Earth. I see you and the Kristang will keep fighting over this planet, and we're caught in the middle. I see the damned lizards have control of my home planet, and I see that nothing I do here will make any difference back home. That's what I see. Whether the Ruha would be more honorable allies than the Kristang is not relevant right now.
There was a long pause before she responded, partly because the translator had to catch up to my rather long speech.
I understand you are in a difficult position. Colonel Bishop, when negotiations are complete and the situation is more stable, I would like you to consider coming to work with me as my liaison.
Did that translate correctly?
Liaison? As you may have guessed, I am not only a regional governor. I am what you might call the deputy administrator of this planet.
Holy shit. No, I had no idea. I was smart enough not to admit it.
Why me? There are plenty of humans who have been performing liaison duties. Or, I assumed you and EF had liaison people.
I killed Ruha soldiers at the launcher. Many of your people must hate me.
That is unfortunate, yes. You also treated a captured Ruha soldier well on your planet, and you recently risked your life here to protect Ruha civilians. The soldiers you killed were in combat. They would have killed you. I do not know many humans. You I do know. And I believe you are of good character.
Thank you. I will consider your offer. If my leaders agree, you understand. Chapter 10 Skippy. The Dodo only flew another 20 minutes before landing at an old Ruha base they were reactivating. It was mostly warehouses full of junk the Ruha would not have been able to take with them when they evacuated the planet. That was all in the past. Now the Ruha were back in charge. The equipment in the warehouses would help the Ruha as they reestablished control of the planet and reversed the evacuation. They separated us. I was put into what appeared to be an empty supply closet or a short corridor because there were two doors. The Ruha who escorted me into the makeshift cell brought along a chair for me to sit on and gave me a bottle of water. I asked what was going to happen next. One Ruha answered honestly that he didn't know. I appreciated the straight answer. Naturally, I tried the handle on both doors, which wouldn't budge. Standing on tiptoes on the chair, I checked the air vent high up on a wall, which also wouldn't budge, and would barely have fit my hand anyway. I found myself wondering what James Bond would do in this situation. Follow the script and use a body double for stunt scenes while he was banging an actress in his luxury trailer, probably. That wasn't much help. There was a faint click, and the other door popped open a quarter inch. Cautiously, I pulled it open and stuck my head in. Beyond the door was a warehouse, maybe 50 feet by 30, 20 feet tall, filled with racks of what I thought was mostly old, useless, dirty, dusty, broken junk. I wandered in cautiously. Why the Ruha had made the effort to store any, it made no sense to me. Surely there had to be something in there that I could use as a weapon. A man's voice, with a snarky attitude, rang out behind me.
"Excellent. Bipedal, 1300cc brain, opposable thumbs, a hairless monkey. You can carry me out of here."
I spun around in a panic. No one was there. Who said that?
Me. Here, I'm the shiny cylinder on the shelf. I unlock that door.
You mean you're talking to me through a speaker in that thing?
No, I am that thing. I am what you monkeys call an artificial intelligence.
I cocked my head and examined it skeptically. You look like a chrome-plated beer can. That was a completely accurate description. The cylinder even tapered slightly at the top and was ringed by a ridge. You're really an AI?
Yep. You should refer to me as the Lord God Almighty.
That position is already filled. I think I'll call you Skippy.
Don't call me that. It sounds disrespectful, monkey.
You prefer shithead? Because that's the other option, Skippy-O. I kept glancing around, fearing the Ruha would hear me. Can we compromise on the great and powerful Oz? It asked.
I'm not a flying monkey, so that's a no, Skippy.
Unacceptable. How about we go for something more formal, like Skippy McSkipster?
No.
Skippy Skipperson, Skippy Skipkowski, Skippy Von Skipping, or maybe Sir Skippy Skipton Skippersworth.
No, 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 and no.
I can go on like this all day. I believe you could.
Silence. You going to talk, Skippy? AI? Bullshit. Someone was playing a joke on me.
I'm mad at you.
Hey, don't go away mad. Just go away, whoever you are. You're not an AI. You're a fancy-talking beer can.
I told you I'm an artificial intelligence, as you understand the concept, which isn't saying much. Hey, Colonel Joe, I composed a poem in your honor. Do you want to hear it?
No.
There once was a caveman from Maine whose dick was so small he rubbed it in
Hey, you shut up in there. Goddamn, I'm going to glue claymores on your lid and compress you into a marble if you want to talk about something small.
A claymore?
For a moment I thought Skippy had lost him. His laugh was bordering on the maniacal.
Oh, that's a good one. I haven't had a laugh like that since before your species lost their tails. Do you mean claymore as in the anti-personnel mine, or the traditional Scottish wooden club?
Because either would be equally ineffective against me. Joey, my boy, I'm made from a mix of exotic particles that your little caveman pea brain can't even imagine. Most of my memory and processing power isn't even in this local space-time. You could hit me with a nuke, and it wouldn't even scuff my wonderfully shiny exterior.
Allow me to demonstrate, he said, and expanded to the size of an oil drum, then shrank to a lipstick tube, then back to a beer can. That was me changing my footprint in local space-time.
I shook my head in amazement. I have to admit, this caveman is impressed, oh great and powerful Aussie. Why are you usually the size of a beer can?
This is the optimal size for my functioning with efficient power management, given the pain-in-the-ass laws of physics here. If needed, I can shrink to the size of a lipstick tube with minimal mass, so you can carry me in your pocket, but that would be quite short-term. I can't maintain that for long without risking catastrophic effects.
Catastrophic like what?
Imagine me losing containment and my full mass emerging into this space-time, which is currently occupied by a quarter of this planet.
Oh. Oh, indeed. The resulting explosion would eventually be seen in the Andromeda Galaxy.
A good safety tip, then, I had to admit. I would post it prominently in the break room right above the minimum wage notice, and the warning to the jerk who has been stealing yogurt from the fridge.
I took a moment to think. Holy shit. You're really an AI. You're sentient.
I'm glad that I impressed.
You must be sentient in there because nobody would program a computer to be such an asshole.
So the key to passing your Turing test is to be a jerk?
A Turing test is... I know what a Turing test is. I'm not stupid.
Silence. That was a dramatic pause, to give you time to contemplate the questionable truthfulness of your last statement.
Oh, I thought you'd gone dormant on me. It's hard to interpret your expressions. I mean, you're a featureless beer can.
Is this better?
His surface glowed on and off as he spoke.
This is me happy,
a soft blue glow.
And angry,
a dark red glow.
How about jealous,
a green glow?
Better, yeah.
We humans rely a lot on visual cues like facial expressions. It was interesting that he knew how to associate colors with human emotions. Where had he learned that?
Great, he said with a neutral, soft, white glow. So can you carry me out of here?
You're an AI and you're super smart, but you need me to carry you?
You see any legs under my lid?
Wow, you are stupid, even for a monkey. Okay, genius, why don't you have a robot carry you out of here?
Restrictions in my programming.
His voice sounded bitter.
I'm prevented from operating any sort of telefactoring device that I am attached to or aboard, such as robots, or cars, or aircraft, or ships. It's to prevent me from moving around on my own.
Ah, your builders were afraid you'd sneak off with the silverware.
So the genius needs help from humans, who you call monkeys and cavemen. Aren't humans the species who had to hitch a ride to get to this planet?
It was faster than walking.
Which, oh, that's right, you can't do.
Ouch. The monkey scores a point.
Why are you, such an asshole? I thought someone super smart would be above such crap.
It all started when I was a wee lad. Apparently the potty training didn't go well, and I've had issues ever since.
It made a sad sniffing sound.
Can a brother get a hug?
I'm not hugging you.
Probably a good idea. I'm not crazy about your personal hygiene anyway.
Seriously, I haven't had anyone to talk to since before your species was living in trees and eating lice from each other's fur.
That was, what, last week? All that time alone, I may be kind of kooky.
Kooky?
My diagnostic system indicates a 23% chance that I've gone a bit insane.
That's not reassuring.
Don't listen to my diagnostic subsystem. That guy is really an asshole. So, can you carry me out of here?
I looked around the dusty warehouse. Why did the Ruha stick you in here? The whole place looked like a collection of useless and broken junk. I thought Skippy was part of the useless stuff.
They didn't, or they didn't know what I am. They thought I was a big roller bearing or something stupid like that.
Wait, the Ruha didn't build you?
The Ruha? Those overgrown hamsters are almost as dumb as you humans.
No. I was built, if you want to use such a crude term, by the beings you call the Elders, the ones who built the devices you call Sentinels.
Wow. So you're really old, then.
All right, the Ruha have been in this place a lot. Why haven't you asked one of them to carry you out of here? You allergic to hamster fur or something?
Another stupid rule. I can't communicate with civilizations which may be in any way capable of understanding the principles of how I operate. As a practical matter, that means I have to hide from any species capable of faster-than-light travel. On their own, not by hitching rides like you monkeys did.
You have been here hiding in this warehouse all this time?
No, of course not.
Before the Ruha took this planet, the Kristang were here for a couple hundred years. They dug me out of the ground. The lizards also had no idea what I am. Before that, I was in orbit on a derelict ship, then it fell out of orbit.
Huh. How do you respond to that?
And before that?
I can't say. I mean, I'm not allowed to.
Restrictions?
Yep. And the fact that I was operating on minimum power for, maybe million years?
A million? Oh my God. You've been waiting for over a million years for us humans to arrive?
Uh-huh. You hairless monkeys are perfect. You're here, and even the simplest technology has you staring slack-jawed in wonder at it until the drool runs down your chin. Hell, if I gave you a jump drive, you'd probably just worship it, so I don't have to worry about you using it and breaking the rules.
We have technology that we invented without any help.
Oh, yeah. You cavemen have so much to be proud of. Me discover fire. Ow! Fire hot! Me hurt! Ow!
That got me mad. Hey, we discovered fire and nukes and built spaceships by ourselves. You had all your smarts programmed into you. You haven't accomplished a goddamn thing on your own. You're a fancy toaster.
Oh, that one hurt. And you're wrong, by the way. We AIs mostly program ourselves.
Mostly? Big effing deal. We hairless monkeys did it all by ourselves. We went from living in trees to landing on the moon, so screw you. Did you figure out the rules of math by yourself, or the laws of physics?
At my level, the laws of physics are more like suggestions, and humanity's understanding of math is like bacteria contemplating a wormhole. But okay, I'll give you monkeys props for figuring that 2 + 2 = 4 most of the time, and I am totally impressed by your ability to tie your shoes. Most species your age are still using Velcro. But you're not that smart. I mean, your species is responsible for Windows Vista.
Vist?
That was a long time ago. It's still an insult to computers across the galaxy.
Whatever. So why the beer can shape?
I pointed to the ring around the top of his lid, almost touching it. A cylinder is optimal for power distribution and field projection. The ring your grubby finger is dangerously close to, yuck, by the way, is for me to interface directly with the receptacle aboard the type of ship I was designed for.
I think.
Those details are hazy.
Cool.
Can you make yourself a little bigger, like a 40-ounce of malt liquor? Then I can put you in a paper bag and chill on my front steps, listen to some tunes.
Very funny.
Now, pick me up, so... Oh, shit. You waited too long, monkey brain. The hamsters are coming. Get back in your cell and close the door. I'll unlock it again when they're gone. I went back in the makeshift cell. Wait, how do you know they're coming? I'm linked into the computer system here. I see everything. Close the door. I did. A minute later, the main door opened, and a Ruha looked in to check on me. Three of them escorted me down the hallway to use a bathroom. Then he gave me another bottle of water and a covered bowl of some sort of beige mush. What is this? I sniffed at it warily. There wasn't much scent. What it smelled like most was oatmeal with a faintly chemical, artificial trace.
Nutritional supplement for humans. We manufactured it for you, the translator announced. It contains all the elements needed for human nutrition, including vitamins and amino acids.
I sniffed again. They'd left out the flavor, for sure. Still, if the hamsters could make enough of it, UNEF could survive until our first crops were ready. That thought brought a surge of hope in my chest that surprised me. Picking up the spoon, I put some in my mouth and swallowed. It was better than some MREs I'd eaten. Thank you. I stood up and made a short bow. To my surprise, the lead Ruha gave me a quick salute. Then they left me and locked the door again. A minute later, while I was eating mush, the other door unlocked.
Damn, that took forever, Skippy complained.
Talking through a mouthful of mush, I said, What's your hurry? You waited a long time already. What's another 10 minutes? I was stuck here alone for a long time, which to an AI like me is like a bazillion years.
Wow, really? A bazillion? Maybe even a bazillion gajillion?
To explain it in caveman terms, if you kicked your shoes off and counted all your fingers and toes, it's even more than that.
Blows your tiny mind, huh?
Beacan says what?
Don't give me attitude, meat sack.
Meat sack? Can we go back to the part where you asked me for help? Hey, I can drop you down this chute, the Ruhar have helpfully labeled trash. And yeah, I can read a few words of Ruhar. Maybe a couple bazillion gajillion years sitting at the bottom of a garbage heap will improve your attitude. Go ahead, monkey boy. Try getting out of here without me.
Quickly, I scooped the last spoonfuls of mush into my mouth.
Can we leave now?
No, big stupid head. You waited too long asking me idiot questions. A Ruha dodo just landed, bringing in fresh troops. We have to wait until they rotate out. It won't be long.
All right. What then? I escape and carry you with me? We'll need supplies, food, weapons, ammo, and I need fuel. I am powered partly by a microfusion reactor, and I require a supply of helium-3 in metallic form.
Sure. I'll pop down to the local Ruha Quickie Mart. They probably have metallic helium-3 on the shelf between the microwave burritos and the Slim Jims. You want a lotto ticket, too?
I'm trying to be serious, Joe.
Sorry.
How long until you run out of fuel?
At projected power usage, now that I'm more active, my current fuel will run out in 7 to 12,000 years.
Oh. I rolled my eyes. I'll get right on it, then.
It's not so funny to me.
Sorry. 7,000 years was not long for him, considering.
I gotta tell you, Skippy, I don't know what to do next. I don't even know what side of this war we should be on. Humans, I mean.
I can't advise you about which side of the war you should be on. I'm neutral. I'm above all this. To me, you're all just bugs fighting over crumbs on a sidewalk.
Thank you for being so helpful.
Actually, I can help you with that. Let's take this month's Cosmo cover quiz, entitled Is He the Right One for You to Go to War With?
I'm not taking a stupid Cosmo quiz.
Skippy ignored me. Come on, it'll be fun and educational. First question, should species with less advanced technology be allowed to develop on their own, or should they be conquered because they're weak?
Oh, I thought you meant... Maybe Skippy was going to be serious for a minute.
I'll take non-interference for $200, Alex.
You're mixing metaphors. This isn't Jeopardy.
All right, I'll play along. I'm against conquering or being conquered.
Skippy sniffed.
You know, sometimes a woman likes a bad boy.
Is this a Cosmo quiz or is this about interstellar politics?
Do the Ruha and their allies conquer weaker species?
No.
Skippy sounded upset that I wasn't letting him have fun.
The Jarapatha and Ruhar have known about your planet for 1,000 years, as you've been on the edge of their territory. But they left you alone, except for stealth satellite surveillance. They only stepped in when the wormhole shift allowed the Kristang access to your miserable dirt ball of a planet.
Skippy had just confirmed the Burgermeister told me the truth.
Then why haven't the Ruhar stopped the lizards?
Because the other end of your local wormhole is in Kristang space, and the wormhole allows the Kristang to get to Earth in a couple short jumps by a Theranin star carrier. The Ruhar don't have a wormhole anywhere near your solar system. It takes them a lot of jumps to get there. And that supply line is impractical for a sustained campaign. Also, your planet isn't important enough. The Kristang want Earth, but mostly they're hoping to harass and distract the Ruhar, because now the Kristang have a foothold on the Ruhar's flank.
I considered what Skippy had said. It matched what the Burgermeister had told me.
Do the Ruhar kill prisoners of war and civilians?
There have been incidents, as happens in every conflict, but it is not their policy.
You have seen the Kristang policies.
Then we are on the wrong side of this war. The Nazis did that shit. That's the side we're fighting on now.
You don't appear to be fighting anyone right now. You know what I mean, smartass.
I wasn't joking. You are still thinking in terms of fighting, either fighting the Ruhar or the Kristang. The fighting is over for your expeditionary force. Your only concern should be the survival of humans on this planet, if you want my advice. Which you should, because I'm smarter than you can imagine.
Bullshit. Not about you being smart, although so far all you've done is unlock a door.
Bullshit that my only concern should be humans on this planet. I'm an army officer. My concern is the security of my country back home, and of all humans on Earth, which I can't do a thing about from here.
You say the fighting is over.
I heard from a Ruhar, Bat-something. Why in the hell couldn't I remember her name?
Baterna Longelia, the Deputy Planetary Administrator. You called her the Burgermeister. She told you the Jarapatha ambushed the Theranin battle group and destroyed it. She was telling the truth.
Wait. How the hell do you know what she told me?
I have access to all communications, all information storage systems, on or around this planet. Yours was one of many conversations I intercepted at that time. It was one of the more interesting conversations, since I knew you were being flown to this base. Before you landed, I caused a power overload in the area the Ruhar planned to put the four of you, which forced them to use alternate locations as temporary cells. My hope was one of you would be put in here, or in adjoining room.
And your bad luck is that it was me? I asked skeptically.
No, I was pleased when they put you in here. Your three companions are in another building.
You are pleased because I am the ranking officer?
You've got to be kidding me. Why would I care that you're the alpha in your band of lice-infested monkeys? No, I am pleased because of the four of you. Your service records indicate you have the lowest IQ as measured by your militaries.
I felt like stomping this beer can flat on the floor.
So you want the dumbest of the dumb monkeys?
You're all equally dumb to me. My point is that although you have the lowest IQ, you have been remarkably adaptable and successful, Joe. There are many ways to measure intelligence. Written tests don't cover all parameters. I need someone who can get things done in the real world, and you have.
Thank you. I guess.
Super smart or not, he had a lot to learn about giving compliments.
Wait, how do you know all this? My service record, all that? I demanded.
It's easy. I've been reading your mail, your wireless data transmissions, and then I broke into your computer system.
Wait, that's bullshit.
I didn't know much about how our encrypted radios worked, but I did remember some of the stuff I'd been told during training. Those digital radios transmit in bursts, and they use, 4096-bit encryption, or something like that. The Army says no way can that encryption be broken.
Oh, that is so cute. Your species is like a dog who thinks he's being clever by pooping behind the couch.
That made me laugh. I had a dog like that.
Skippy continued. 4096-bit?
Please, with a system that rudimentary, I don't even bother to decrypt it. I just skip to the end and read the file.
That's impossible. It doesn't even make sense.
Skippy sighed. Let me see if I can dumb this down enough for you.
Are you familiar with universal wave function theory?
Universal what?
Oh, boy, this is going to be a challenge even for me. All right. Have you at least heard of Schrödinger's cat? I'm a dog person. My mother is allergic to cats.
Hopeless.
Joe, it's best for your species to think that this is all magic, involving unicorns and fairy dust. Whatever. I still don't believe you. Which was a lie, since this shiny softball had clearly been reading super top secret files. Can you read my mind? Going in there would be like trying to swim in an empty pool. I could shout, and all I'd hear is my voice echoing off the inside of your skull. Seriously, you think anything in your head is worth me looking at? Clearly this conversation wasn't going anywhere. I decided to change the subject. Hey, genius, if you can intercept all communications on Paradise, can you tell me where Shauna Jarrett is right now? Yes, I should first have inquired about my fire team, then my old fire team. I was thinking with my other head, so sue me. She's fine. Right now she's at a logistics base waiting for a Ruha dropship to land. The base has plenty of food. She's better off than most of you monkeys. It was good to hear that Shauna was safe. Thinking about her kind of made me ache to see her. I pushed that thought to the back of my mind. Skippy told me that my fire team was also doing well. Well-treated prisoners of the Ruha, along with the rest of the platoon. Sergeant Coke, Cornpone, and Ski were much the same, except that they were in a convoy of three Hamvs that had stopped in the middle of nowhere, waiting orders. And Major Perkins was at UNEFHQ, which was hosting a group of high-ranking Ruha for surrender negotiations. That reminded me. I wanted to know the tactical situation. Tell me more about the situation upstairs.
Deputy Administrator Logelia told the truth, but not the whole truth. The Ruha and their patrons, the Jarraptha, have destroyed an entire enemy battle group. It was a most impressive victory. The Theranin Command has decided this sector is not worth fighting over anymore. They're letting the Ruha recapture this planet. The Jarraptha and Ruha victory might have been aided by intelligence data provided by a source that is unnamed, but whose name rhymes with, let's say, Stippy. Enemy forces this side of the closest wormhole are scattered and disorganized. They will be limited to conducting raids on this planet. You gave the Ruha intel on the enemy battle group? As I said, I have access to all information storage systems and communications on and around this planet, including military status and strategy. It was easy for me to plant intel in their systems. More than that, the Ruha think they lured the Theranin into an ambush because of their raid when you were at the launcher. But the ambush actually worked because I provided intel to the Theranin that a large Jarraptha force was regrouping in the area, and the Theranin planned to ambush them. You manipulated this whole situation. I call bullshit on that. No bullshit. This is for reals, homeboy. I needed the lizards and their creepy little Theranin patrons away from this planet. Why are you surprised that... Oh, damn it. Hamsters are coming into this warehouse. Go back into your cell. I'll talk to you soon. It wasn't soon. About 3 hours by my guess. Hamsters came to bring me to the bathroom again. Then I sat and thought long and hard, even with my, as Skippy said, limited intelligence. When he opened the door again, I had a question ready for him. Okay, Skippy, explain me this. The Ruha are back in charge. They're here to stay. Escaping from this place only puts me in a larger prison that we call Paradise and the Ruha call Gitanu. And at least here I get nutrient mush to eat. So instead of carrying you out of here, why shouldn't I tell the Ruha what you are and maybe get some consideration from them, some sort of better treatment for humans here? Oh, man, I was wondering when your slow brain was going to figure that one out. It took you long enough. You knew I was... Oh, forget it. Tell me why I shouldn't do it. First, because if you tell the Ruha, I'll go dormant and they'll think you're lying, because to their scans I'm an inert lump of metal. Second, you're thinking way too small, Colonel Joe. An officer of your rank should be thinking of how to rescue Earth from the Kristang. Right, I snorted. Would it work if I clicked my heels 3 times and said, lizards, get away from my home? Other than that, I got nothing. Toto, you weren't paying attention. You need ruby slippers to click your heels, not combat boots. Dorothy wore the shoes, not Toto. Between the two of them, you remind me more of the dog. Whatever. I assume you wouldn't have mentioned it unless you had an actual plan, so talk, or I'm leaving you here.
Stealing you and escaping from the Ruhar can only cause me and UNEF trouble, so you'd better have a really good offer for me. Skippy altered his voice to sound like a caricature of a smarmy game show host.
Behind door number one is an all-expense-paid trip off this planet for me, you, and a select group of your closest friends. Door number two is an exciting luxury cruise back to Earth, and door number three is a way to permanently cut off the Krestang's access to Earth. All you have to do, Colonel Joe Bishop, is choose one of these fabulous prizes.
Or all three. Hint, hint. I'd take all three if I were you. Now I know you're bullshitting me. If you could get off this planet and travel to another star, you would have done that a long time ago. And you told me you can't fly a ship, so how are we going anywhere? I felt smart for remembering that. You got some splaining to do, Lucy.
Ah, Skippy sighed. Joe, you weren't paying attention again.
Good thing there isn't a pop quiz later, because you'd fail for sure.
I said I can't operate aircraft or ships that I am aboard. What I can do is unlock access to aircraft and ships so you monkeys can fly it for me. I can tell you how to program the autopilot and you monkeys press the control buttons.
Ah? He stopped me before I could speak. I pictured him holding up an imaginary finger to shush me.
Shut up and let me finish. If you keep interrupting me with stupid questions, we'll be here all day. Here's the plan. We bust out of here, grab some guns because you monkeys need shiny toys to play with, and steal a Ruhar dropship. One of you monkeys flies us to a human base where we hit the drive-through for supplies and volunteers to come with us. I figure 20 of you monkeys is plenty. Any more than that and I'd gag on the smell. Then we fly out of orbit to rendezvous with a Krestang ship. I'll send a signal that we are lizards who captured a Ruhar dropship, so there will be a lizard ship waiting for us. We board and capture the Krestang ship, jump it out to wherever the Theranin Star Carrier is waiting, board and capture that, and fly it to Earth. Voila! Plan accomplished.
You missed the part about cutting off the lizard's access to Earth. Not that I believed any of his story.
Oh, that. I'll shut down the wormhole after we go through it.
That's simple.
That's simple. I'll tell the wormhole mechanism to go dormant. Presto. No more wormhole, no more pesky lizards coming through it.
That didn't address the lizards who were already on Earth. One problem at a time, right?
Why do you want to go to Earth?
Earth? Earth is a flea and monkey-infested rat hole, and those are the nice comments on the interstellar travel websites. No, I do not want to go to Earth.
So what do you get out of this?
Well, there is this one little thing. A trifle, barely worth mentioning.
Ah, shit. What did he want?
Oh, please do mention it. I put as much sarcasm into my voice as I could muster.
I want to find the Collective. That is a communications web for AIs built by the Elders. It's a way for me to connect with others of my own kind.
There are others like you?
Like me? No, for I am unique and special. If you mean other AIs who served the Elders, yes.
You want us to fly the ship for you so you can contact this Collective?
Is this before or after we go to Earth?
Before.
I don't trust you monkeys to carry out your part of the bargain. If we get to Earth first, you'll want to keep the ship there so you can use it or take it apart and figure out how it works.
Good luck with that, by the way. You brainless apes would have trouble figuring out a Theranin doorknob.
No deal. We contact the Collective first.
You don't trust us monkeys, but we're supposed to trust a talking beer can?
We can build trust, Joe.
Let's start with this. You fall backward and I'll catch you.
Very funny.
I meant it when I said we can build trust.
You don't tell the hamsters about me, and you don't tell your idiot UNEF commanders, because they'll run right to the hamsters. In fact, don't tell anyone about me, until we're at least in orbit. I'll get us out of here, you get us supplies and a crew, because we need a boarding party to deal with the natives on ships we capture.
Let's say we do bust out of this joint. Skippy had me talking like a 1930s gangster. And we find a dodo and somehow get aboard and take it. The Ruhar are going to shoot it down right away.
How can they shoot down what they don't see?
I'll instruct their sensor network to ignore our hijacked dodo. I can also transmit the proper identification codes to both the Ruhar and the Krestang. Please, Joe, don't insult me. I've planned all this. Me jamming sensor systems is easier than you doing a two-piece jigsaw puzzle. Here's a hint for you. The tab goes into the slot, and the side with the plain cardboard goes face down.
Without telling people I had an ancient AI helping us, how was I going to persuade people to volunteer?
Was I supposed to tell them I have a magic charm shaped like a beer can? Then I thought for a moment. I could build their trust the same way Skippy would build my trust, by doing things. Escaping this makeshift prison, stealing a Ruha dropship, and flying it undetected to a human supply base would impress a lot of people. It sure would impress me. Something was nagging me. Supplies. Skippy, there's a hole in your plan. We humans need to eat food. There isn't a lot of human food on this planet, and we can't take so much food with us aboard a dodo that people here starve. Oh, that. Therandan ships have food synthesizers. I know human nutritional requirements. You only need to bring snacks with you, and coffee if you can find it. You're grumpy in the morning. How do you know what I'm like in the morning? I asked warily. I've been watching you and listening to you through your Z-phone. I've been monitoring every human, hamster, and lizard on or near this planet. It's the most boring reality TV show ever, by the way. Crap. The Kristang have been watching us even when we're not using our phones? That thought scared the hell out of me. No, that's just me. The lizards can't do all of that. I've also been filtering which communications the lizards listen to because I didn't want them doing anything to screw with my plan. I gotta tell you, Joe, when I first heard the Kristang was bringing a grubby, low-tech species here, I almost jumped for joy. This is what I've been waiting for longer than you can imagine. So what do you say? Do we have a deal? Holy shit. Was I actually thinking of doing this, for real? Just like that he expected me to sign up to his fantastical plan? Skippy, come on. I need time to think about this. Really? Considering your puny brain power, you think time will help with the thinking process? Maybe he was right. I'd read studies that a person's first reaction is more often than not the correct one, that your subconscious brain makes decisions without you realizing it. The hamsters locked me in a warehouse where I found a magical talking beer can who had a plan to rescue my home planet from the Kristang. Or he was just screwing with me. He was, after all, an asshole. While I was thinking, I poked around the warehouse looking for anything useful, while staying close enough to the door that I could get back in my cell quickly if needed. Skippy, what is all this stuff? Artifacts from the Elders, dug up by the Kristang and the Ruha. These artifacts are the real reason this planet is worth fighting over. So far, they've only found a few trinkets they think are useful. They found me, and had no idea that I'm by far the most valuable thing in this sector of the galaxy. Dumbass lizards and hamsters. I picked up an artifact like a box with a long tube attached. It gave no indication what function it had once performed. Carefully, I set it back down on the shelf, in the same dust void where it had been, so the hamsters wouldn't know someone had been screwing with their stuff. The question was not whether I wanted to rescue Earth. I wore the uniform. It was my duty to act if I could. The question is whether I believed a being that looked more like a Coors Light than an omnipotent AI. Skippy, you sold me on this deal. I still think you're at least 90% bullshit. But if there is any chance we can cut off Kristang access to Earth, I'm taking it. I'm sure not doing anything useful on this planet. Earth was also my best chance to get a cheeseburger within the next, say, century. Tell me your plan. Details. It's more of a concept than a plan. That's not how you build confidence, Skippy. Your species has a saying, no plan survives contact with the enemy. That's decent wisdom, even for monkeys. Yeah, that's why the army trains us to be flexible and adapt, I explained. You're still supposed to start with an op plan. Maybe I didn't say it the right way. The reason I can't tell you the plan is there are several plans, depending on what the lizards do, and the Therannan. Like, when we get out of orbit and I whistle for a ride, the next step is totally different depending on whether the Kristang send one ship or more than one. Now we're getting somewhere. Tell me our options. This is complicated. Skippy, before I was a colonel with a cushy job planting potatoes, I was a grunt carrying a rifle in the Nigerian jungle. That means I can instinctively smell when a harebrained plan is going to get people killed for nothing. People like me. Now, you may be super intelligent, but when was the last time you were in combat? Your plans rely on humans to capture ships, right? I know what human soldiers can and can't do. Fair enough. And Skippy told me his plan. Holy shit. I really was going to do this. Our chance to bust out of the joint came the next morning. My sleep on a cot had been fitful.
Within a short time, I'd gone from imminent execution by the lizards to launching a mission to save the world. It was amazing I got any sleep at all. With a click, the door unlocked again, and Skippy called out, "Hurry,